every time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Has a table spread. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. And with his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. With Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calling, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned the disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them to come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who turn the water into wine, to the hungry call it now, to come and dine. Soon the lamb will take his bride, amen,
to be
ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all these saints in fleshless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the master calling, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' name.
At Jesus' table all the time.
He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now to come and dine. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to be in the house today. Oh my goodness, I'm excited. I'm so excited because the thing I've been chewing on was the preacher said, he said,
We are representatives speaking on behalf of the whole body. Now, when you start telling me stuff like that, see, I'm the kid in the family that you shouldn't have gave the keys to, because I'll do whatever I want with them things. But just to know that we are the ones. I mean, I don't see anybody else stepping up to this plate. Amen. I don't see nobody else stepping up to bat. We're the ones to step to bat. I know that for a fact. And he said, this is serious business.
Amen.
See, I take this place seriously. Amen. I don't care where you find yourself. I don't care how far you strayed off. Amen. These doors are always open to believers. Get yourself to the house. Come and get you a plate.
Yes.
Come and eat some of this fresh manna.
Yeah.
Some of that water that will never thirst Amen. Again. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to be in the house.
I got something to say.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. I saw this open spot and I couldn't help myself. I had to sit down there for 30 minutes. I didn't want to break the order of service, but oh Lord, would I hear a message? When you hear a message like that, oh, I can't even hold still. He said, when you know, we can say that we've left shall and we now know. It's not a matter of, you know, shall means that there's intention.
Mm-hmm.
Shall means potential.
Yeah.
You now know means that it's a manifestation. We're looking for a manifestation of a body mm-hmm. change. He says we're the intelligence to the bride. You know what? We start looking at the body. Oh, the body is a miracle. The body's a wonderful thing. Body works together. You ever tried to do something without your hands? You're like, you know what? I'm going to pick this up. You can thank all you want to pick something up. But until you use those hands. But guess who uses the hands? Who uses the hands? The mind.
The mind.
Yeah, the hands don't use themselves.
No.
There's no nothing without that intelligence.
Exactly.
I even know where that intelligence came about.
Yeah.
That's when the body knew it was a body.
Yeah.
Before it was just like, well, Lord, I hope, you know, we did it. We did it. I did my part.
Yeah.
I fulfilled my scripture.
Amen.
So I did some things. I wanted to bring a covered dish today. I brought some scriptures.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to read these scriptures, and Lord, let me read them and read them well. The question that was asked was out of Brother Branham's Christ the Mystery Revealed. He says, what are you going to do when you get all that group? Not some of that group. Not a bride without one breast. Not a one-eyed bride. He says you need to get that whole group together where the revelation is perfect harmony. Not just a little bit, not discord, perfect harmony. And God expressing in through his word. God writes in the scripture.
That's
they
it.
Fulfilled their scripture.
That's it.
Whose scripture are we fulfilling? Our scripture. Who are we? We're the bride. I'm tired of trying to be like, well, you know, it's me, and then I'm the intelligence, and then I don't just say, hey, I'm the brain.
No.
These are my arms. I say, this is my body.
This is my body. Yeah.
But I wanted to go a little bit, because I saw some things a little bit different.
Goodness.
And I'm not going to have, I'll read quick, because I know we have to hear the word.
Oh, yeah.
1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, not separate, joined together,
one,
with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be ever with the Lord. Lord, help me read. My tongue's getting ahead of me.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. We will be joined together. Again, another uniting. You know, we start talking about our scriptures, the body scriptures. We got to start speaking for the bride.
Yes.
There comes a time when we have to speak. You know, we took the book. We ate the book. They said it was done. Revelation 10 and 11. We're finished with that.
Oh, my.
Malachi 4, I claim it. Yeah. Hebrews 11:40 said, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And before that service, I had thought, you know, well, us without them can't make perfect, and them without us can't be made perfect. I still had that double doctrine. I was still thinking, I'm like, well, separation. No.
Right.
Them without us should not be made. I'm the intelligence. The end.
That's it.
Period.
I
done.
Tell them what to do.
Perfect. A new work.
Yeah.
A new body.
Yes.
Oh,
and then
my.
Go over here to John 17:23. I and them, and thou and me,
yes,
that they may be made perfect in one. In one. I am my
now.
Father in one. I am about
now.
My Father's business.
Yes.
The intelligence, Jesus Christ. Right. And that the world will may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. We're reading down in John the same. And I have declared unto him thy name. Right. We know our name.
Yeah.
We're not confused about our name. We know who we are.
Yeah.
And we keep knowing more
and
more and more. You start talking differently.
Yeah.
You start knowing who, oh my Lord.
Yes.
There's so many of these. But they don't even read the same anymore. Because I start to look for us and them. Yeah. No, words. Words have power.
Oh,
God's words have power.
Oh, yes.
We start looking instead of me. I start looking for them. Them that are made whole.
Yes.
Ephesians 4:16. From whom the body fitly joined together.
Yeah.
And compacted by that which every joint supplieth.
Who knew?
I claim sanctification. I claim the prophets. They're part of the body. They're the eyes, the feet, the hands.
The foundation.
According to the effectual working in that measure of every part, maketh increased of the body until the edifying of itself in love.
In love, yes.
Mm. Oh, there's.
Oh, that reads different today.
And then right here, Philippians 3:11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Who are we getting up? We have a job to do.
Come on.
I'm looking for something. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I must apprehend, for which I can't even read. Lord, I just know it's the truth. And I am so turned on by this message. It's hard to read it. I get ahead of myself. My eyes move faster than my mouth. My mouth moves faster than my eyes. But I know that I see it. You know what's even better than seeing it?
Yeah.
Is believing it.
Yes.
The fact that you know that you can even read and understand. We should be the most proud people in here.
Yes.
There comes a time where you have to talk different. You can't sit here and just be like, well, you know what? I made it. You have to see it for yourself. It has to be a personal revelation.
It's
a walk where God's like, you know what? Guess what? I'm going to show you who you are. And once you see who you are, you've tied yourself back to a body.
That's it.
And once you tie yourself back to the body, you're ready for the journey.
You're ready.
Nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you.
Oh my!
I love how we talked in Romans 8. All the things, there's a list of them.
Yeah.
And that list is not even death.
Yeah, right.
Not even death. So what?
No.
So how proud should we be?
Because
there comes a time. Our brother Moore said at the end on that service, he says, you know what? Well, there comes a time where we need to be speaking on behalf of the bride.
Yeah.
And if that's what my job is, that's my marching orders. Until I get further words.
Yeah.
Which is why I showed up today. I'm going to speak on behalf of the bride. I am the final voice to the final age. I have done it all. I am fitly joined together.
Yes.
You can't lay anything accordingly to me.
Right.
This day, this scripture is fulfilled. That's how we talk.
Amen.
It's not that you see Jesus. Jesus, when he talked in those beautiful red letters, it was never past tense.
No.
Well, hopefully someday you shall know.
No.
Today, we now know.
Yeah.
Romans 8:28 says, you now know.
That's right.
And we now know.
Yes.
So what are you going to do when you get a body?
Oh,
it's not, and for a while, I thought it was just us. Yeah. Oh, but I'm like, when you start knowing that you have more people than the Bible could even say, it was thousands upon thousands times hundreds.
Yes.
I mean, it couldn't even give you a number. It was such a large number.
Right.
Oh, my
Joined
goodness.
Joined together in one mind and one accord.
Oh.
The heavens can't hold our praise.
No.
We will break this.
Yeah.
That little seal is so, that veil is so thin.
Thin.
I'm like, Lord, I was over here. I was like, I told my daughter, I was like, listen, go sit with Aunt Kara. I'm like, you're going to have to hold my meal. You have to hold my distractions.
Yeah.
That's what we have. We have 10 inlets still. Lord, let me yield these 10 inlets to you, Lord.
Yes.
Let me remove the distractions of this world. People talk, and I hear the talk, and I hear the crinkling of wrappers and papers. I'm like, Lord, let me fill you with this worship.
Yes.
Amen.
This is why I'm here. I'm not here to talk. I'm not here to play around. I'm here to talk to God.
Amen.
I'm here to see God. I'm here to get the dead up.
Yeah.
I don't care about your circumstances.
Right.
I don't care about what you did.
Come on.
I don't care what you do.
Right.
The fact that what you do with the word.
Yeah.
That's the true thing that you do. When you come in here, I don't care how you live. But if you come in here and you treat God well, guess what? You believe? If you can say amen, you're done.
Yeah.
That's it. If you can just agree with his word. It's
That's
what
it.
You do with his word.
Yeah.
Because he fulfills by his word. Amen. He walks in on a scripture.
Amen.
We have a scripture to fulfill.
Yeah.
And he says, now we have to find the scriptures in which we're going to deal with the body.
Yeah.
For the live and the remaining. So what I'm doing is I'm looking for the Bible.
That's the whole
now book. I'm looking for scriptures of them. And I was like, Lord, if I can just do one thing, get up here and just burn a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to come in here and be a bump on the log. After they over here just releasing this beautiful message to open up the doors to realizing who you are, to realizing how close we are to being done. What else are we going to do? What else is there to do? I'm not here to make a career. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to make a living.
No.
I'm here to do the work of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we should be saying. Oh, my Lord, this is such a real revelation. You know,
Amen.
I love the fact that once you really see it, once you've tied yourself to the body, you know, you'll know it. You'll know it because it will manifest itself.
Right.
You can't eat something and not manifest it. Like Brother Graham says, if you had the spirit of Johnny Dillinger in you, you would go rob banks.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't see any robbers in here. I see partakers of the word.
Right.
I see partakers of the word.
Amen.
I see people who can look at God and not see flesh, not see circumstances, not see what, I don't care what you know. I don't care
about
what you know.
All.
Because it's what you do with the word that
That's
matters.
Right.
Because if you come in here and you're like, well, it's just Seth, I just wait for the God to get up and speak, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
You're
going to
miss it every
Already.
Time. Because you know what? God speaks through everybody. It's a many-member body. He said, greater works will you do.
Right.
It's not going to be, if you're going to sit here and come and wait for a certain person, you'll miss it every single time. And you know what? You'll start making it less important. You should come in here like, oh, I don't know where he's at, but I know he's going to speak to me. I know he's going to speak to me. I'm going to show up early because I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
I start shaking hands because I'm like, is it going to be you? Is it going to be you, Lord?
Yeah.
I'm standing in the need of prayer. I need it.
Oh, yeah, it's me, Lord.
Until God speaks again, I'm still waiting on that manna.
Yeah.
I'm still sitting on that word from last service.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to it first thing this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to get in that spirit. I wanted to set the atmosphere.
That's right.
Because I do have 10 inlets. I still have circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, kids, you got to go sit in the other room. Go sit in another room. We're going to be there by 9:30. I sat there. I came inside. I sat down. I was like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
These songs sound different.
Yeah.
Come and dine with me.
Yo.
Who are we dining with? Who are we dining with?
He's real.
When you see it, you see it. And you can't talk me out of it. That's what I love about the intelligence. Is when a mind knows something, I don't care what they try to convince you. I know it. If you know something, if you know what 2 + 2 is, everybody can say so many different numbers, but I know for a fact 2 + 2 = 4. You can't convince me of anything else.
Yeah.
You can't talk me out of it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we talked about that ID. That ID is not for me. I know who I am. That ID is to let you know who I am. I give it to the police officer because they don't know who I am. But when I know who I am, I'm set.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, you're Aaron. Nope. I've had my name.
Yeah.
I know my name.
Yeah.
I've seen where my name's at.
Yeah.
Oh, if there was, if there was a chorus of angels in heaven praising 24/7,
right.
As much as time as we can even think about, and there's silence in heaven, where are we at?
Yeah.
So I want to come down here. I want to praise him.
Yeah.
I want to be thankful for what he's done.
Right.
I want to, you know, I'm fellowshipping here not just with a living body, but with the live and the dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking to all the ones. I'm talking to the feet. I'm talking to the eyes. I know where how that body fits together. Even better than I did before. Because I'll be the same way. I thought it was 7. I didn't even think about it. But you know why? Now I know where Paul goes. I know where Branham goes. I know Pentecost is the mouth. I know that foundation. But you know what? I see myself in that body more than anything else. That's nice to know that you have feet. It's nice to know that you have hands and you have eyes that you can see.
Yeah.
But when you know where you're at, where you fit in, that you're the intelligence, that you should be speaking a little bit different, not being like, well, Lord, if it's your will, you should have a positive testimony.
Amen.
You should come in here and be like, you know what? I don't care. Because that's what the devil wants to do is distract you. He wants to use those inlets and be like, well, you know, you did this, you did that, you lived this. Who cares?
Who cares?
Because you know what he said?
Right,
he made a promise to me.
Yeah.
So if you can make it to the house of God. One more time. That prescription.
That simple.
All things will work together.
Yeah.
These scriptures will read different.
Oh, yeah.
All who are called according to his purpose. Who's called? There's got to be somebody. There's got to be someone who's remaining. The scripture says it. So I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's all I can say.
Amen.
It's a personal revelation. I'm one of them. So thank you, Lord, that I can understand this message. that I can see this. You know what? Thank you that I was able to make it a priority. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I love that because you know what? When you start setting things on things that are actually solid and make a foundation, try making, try building something in sand. It's not very successful. A sandcastle only lasts for so long. After a while, it starts to crumble.
Yes.
But when you build on solid rock, a good foundation, all you guys know, if you build on a solid slab of concrete that's leveled, that house will be strong.
Oh, yeah.
It won't settle too much. Right. It's the same thing with you. Shoot a gun. Yeah. If you're off by an inch, by the time it gets there, you're off by a mile.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you that we can see things. You can't even help but put the revelation in.
That's right.
So I am thankful I can make it one more time. Amen. And I want to get up here. I didn't want to come empty-handed. He's been too good to me. Yeah. I am just thankful for this revelation because I see where I'm at and I see how close we are. We are so close that it was just, they said it's going to be one word.
Yeah.
One word that's going to change it. From going from that shall to we now.
Yeah.
That means that the rapture's here.
Yeah. Amen.
There has to be a manifestation because his word will not go without void. It will have a manifestation. Yeah. He rides on his manifestation.
Oh, yeah.
He said, if Brother Branham had left on certain messages, that would have been it. But he had to go further.
Yeah.
We have to go further.
Amen.
We took the book. We ate the book. Now we have to get the dead up. So, Lord, show me my word so I can manifest it. Show me my scripture so I can manifest it. I know he will. Amen.
Amen. You know, something just hit me real quick before I get you up, brother. You know, that first Eve, she was ordained to fall. She could have called the names for it. But, you know, it's funny, when you go to Revelation 10, he says, seal these things up, John. Don't write none of these things. Put it in symbol form. This bride, right now, with this unconditional covenant, she's worthy to call all the names forward now. She's the one that's ordained to call every name that the first Eve should have called. She's going to call every single name. It just hit me just now. Go ahead, brother.
One of the things before we got up and was talking, I was thinking about is the mind age.
Yes.
And I was thinking about, like, when he was talking about that, and when did that come in? 63. When we took the book, the very thoughts of our Lord, and we began to manifest that.
Amen.
Well, stop and think about that. How does the body move? When did they leave heaven?
Yeah.
They travel as a thought.
Yes.
It happened in 63. When thought came to the entire bride body. How are we moving today? By thought. By the ministry being preached forth, the very thoughts of God going forth. How are we going to change? By thought. One day we're going to realize this is it. We're going to say it forth because it still has to be spoken forth. Even though it's already been prophesied, it's already been, everything is done except for the final thought of Christ. And how is he going to do that? Same way he does it every single time. By thought. He's going to think it, speak it, and have the final manifestation.
Amen.
I'm just happy to have that thought, be a part of that thought, knowing that the whole body moves by this thought, this revelation, this word of God.
Amen. Let's sing song number 7 out of the Only Believe, When the Redeemed, key of G. Amen. We've been redeemed, delivered. What more can you ask for?
Amen.
My goodness. Our daily bread, Lord. Let's start with the chorus. When the redeemed are gathering in, I wash like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. I'm thinking of a rapture. I'm thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. Oh, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in, I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering. will be a great recession. There will be a great progression over on the streets of gold. Oh, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, or the city will be rolled. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing it with me. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll just wash like snow and free from all sin. Strong. Oh, when the redeemed, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join this song. No, they can't.
When the redeemed,
oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Yes, when the redeemed. Like snow and free from all sin. Yes, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in the Savior, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board. Oh, when the redeemed, oh, when the redeemed
are gathering in,
are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation. Yes, we will.
Blessed
of the Lord. Oh, when the redeemed, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing it with me. When the redeemed. Oh, when the redeemed. That's you and me, brothers and sisters.
Like snow,
and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout! Oh, how we'll sing! Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. You may be seated. Announcements and the trip is on the 22nd, coming right around the corner, and departure is at 2 p.m.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Let's Isaiah, yeah.
Go ahead, sis. Go ahead, sis.
You know what? I just want to say something right quick. I get down there in line. because I want to be recognized.
I know that's right.
I don't want you to miss me.
Amen.
Amen. Because as the bride of Jesus Christ,
yes,
we have something to say.
Amen.
We are the final voice to the final age. If we don't say it, it won't get said.
Amen.
If we don't do it, it won't get done. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sis.
Hey. You're so right, my brothers and sisters. We are that final voice to the final age. I am a believer. The Lord allowed me to come through that door. I am so grateful and I am so thankful for all the wonderful guidance that I get from you. I just wanted to let him know I'm one of his.
Amen. Let's sing song number 6 out of the Only Believe. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I don't get my timing too. I thank God for this opportunity to be here. And, you know, I've been here all my life. I've known you guys a long time. And I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, I just get my timing because I believe this thing and I'm going all the way and sticking all the way through it. I'm just excited to be here. I love you guys. And amen.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.
All right. Oh, how I love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. There is a name I love to
little while. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. There is a name.
To be here this morning. We're blessed to be here this morning. Oh, my. I was turned on by the testimonies. Seeing each one of you come up and just give your part. That's what it's all about. That's what God wanted. He didn't want to dwell alone. Matter of fact, he said it's not even good that man dwell alone. He wanted to be a part of something. Oh, my. And he's in us this morning. To see the testimonies of the brothers and sisters that go through, it don't matter what you go through. I'm fully persuaded that everything that I go through is little. It's small. When I think about the big things that I got to do, I got eternal security. That takes care of every temporal problem I may think of. That takes care of a job. That takes care of a loved one. That takes care of a loss. That takes care of a gain. That takes care of my highs and my lows. Oh, when you think about, and I saw, I even love how that chorus goes. It's just two lines. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yes.
Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. There's a lot of people that Jesus said, When you go back, even go back to Genesis. Cain had a chance. God said, if you just do what your brother did, I'll accept it. This world has a chance. They get a chance every time the word comes across. And there's just a small group of people that can't help but to say amen every time it comes across. Their life could be this, their things could be that, and they every time it comes across their path, they simply say amen. Even when I'm not living up to it. Even when I know I'm wrong. Even if I think I'm out, I still make my way back in here and I say, I just can't help it. I'm one of them. And that's why I loved even Brother David testifying. It's like, oh my, my, my. I'm still turned on by this testimony. He says, I'm still strapped in. I'm still strapped in. Thank God I'm strapped in. Because there's times that I want to let something go and do something. I can't go. I'm locked into this ark. He's got me. Just as much as I can't get out, nobody else can get in. Oh, my, my, my. So we're singing that song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. We don't need the musicians. We're going to sing that chorus again. Oh,
how I love Jesus, singing, oh, how I love Jesus, singing, oh, how I love Jesus.
One more time, hallelujah.
Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing, oh, how
let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come to you. Lord, we come expecting, as your waiting bride, for one more step, one more order to get out of here. That's the only thing on our plate, is the rapture, Lord. Every service we get together with more earnest, our hearts are longing to be reunited. Lord, bless those prayer requests that were spoken and some that were unspoken. Lord, bless the bride around the world as they, many will be gathering this morning, but some that are traveling, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless Brother Jimmy's family, Lord. We know we're placing the seam again, but even Jesus wept. Comfort them, Lord, as they go through this stage, Lord, and bless the brothers that have went there to be with them. Lord, bless the service this morning. Help to move the hearing, the speaker out of the way, that we can just be encouraged and inspired another time. Then our hearts burn within us when we are able to hear that word again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. It is good to be here. It's always a pleasure to come to the house. Preaching on Sundays has its own set of nervousness. Preaching just in general has a set of nervousness, but just as you just get nervous. I was just nervous over there, but just looking out there, it's like, God's been so good. I'm not too nervous that I can't make it to church. I'm not going through too much that I can't get here. Because once I know what happens when I get here. I know every single time that when I get here, everything is better. Everything is, the weather is better. My job is better. My family's better. Everything is better because of this place. I would never let anything get in the way of coming to serve God. Even though I have nerves and all that kind of stuff. And pray for Pastor Morris. He's traveling. Him and Brother John, they're going to see Brother Jimmy's family. And actually, Pastor Morris is doing the funeral. Is that correct? He's doing the funeral there. So God bless him. He told me and Jeremiah to be ready, and we are ready. And we got other brothers that are ready, and Brother Seth is hilarious, you know. I praise God because he's a yielding vessel. And when you can see it work, it should build all of our faith. It literally, when you see Seth, it should build everybody else's faith. You should say, if God could do that with Seth, he can do that with me. That's the same thing that I say. When God uses me to read a scripture or say something, I say, it should build your faith. I'm like Brother David. I've been here my whole life. You done seen me grow up from a boy. You done seen me get in the mud and get dirty. You done seen me do all these things. And if you see God use me one time, I know he uses me all the time. But if you just only get one glimpse that he uses me one time, it should increase your faith that much more to go through whatever you got to go through. Oh, my, we're such a blessed group. And I'm looking at what has been coming across, and I'm nervous. I'm nervous, and it's like, and I don't know, I got all these emotions, but I'm looking at him like, everything we've been praying for, everything you've been waiting for, everything that this 2,000-year-old bride has been building up to do, we're now here. It's today's the day. Amen. There's nothing left to do. Pastor Moore even made a reference. He said, if you want justification, it's already happened. Don't come to me for justification. That's not my job. And you can go into that and go, well, and a lot of people want to hold on to things, but I can do the same thing with Noah. It's not my job to build an ark. You would think I was silly. That job has already been done. The children have been freed from Egypt. That job has been done. Moses did what he was supposed to do. A virgin conceived. When you go through the scriptures of what people were supposed to do, I can't go back and do their job and get the results. I got to do just what God has ordained me to do. And that's to get the dead up. But the more I'm looking at it, I'm like, they're up though. They're up. He brought his reward with him. They're up now. We're communicating as a bride body together. We're the ambassador. That's the representation of the entire. Okay, so if you go overseas and you go to the U.S. Embassy, that's U.S. soil. You step on that soil, that's U.S. soil. Everybody you talk to represents the entire United States. That's the representative in that space. They represent the entire United States. I represent. When you see me, you see God. I represent all the God that ever existed. I am the I am. I'm the present tense. I'm the creator, so to speak. I am the only God you will ever see. When you step near me, you're stepping on God's soil. That's how it works when it's an ambassadorship. When you touch, even when it's said in the Bible, when did you do this to me? When you did this unto the least of these, when you fed them, when you clothed them, you did that unto me. That's still got to apply right now. When you hear God speaking, he's speaking to you. Not everybody else can pick this up. And I look at this and I get nervous because I'm saying, if everything is done, then what else is there left to do? Just get out of here. Oh, my. And I thought, we're taking another step because even the title, And I was just beside myself because the way it works for me, when we get ready for service, you know, I have, you know, a thought and some things and stuff from a service that'll come to me, and I'll have, you know, an idea of what I would like to share that goes along with the service. And every now and again, there'll be times when you're getting ready and you'll just have like a block. And Jeremiah may experience this, Pastor Warren may experience this, whatever the case may be, but there'll be a block, like, I just can't get the thought to continue. Like, I'm like, why is there something stopping this? Because normally you get a thought and it's like, oh, I'm ready, I'm ready, let's go. I want to just say this right now. But every now and again, there's a block. And I'm sharing this with y'all. So every now and again, there's a block. And then most of the time that happens, somebody else preaches. I don't know it. We don't have a schedule. I don't have 32 weeks of who the next minister is going to preach and all that kind of stuff. But normally what happens when that block is there, somebody else preaches. When that block is there.
this time it was a partial block, and I was like, I don't know why this is not put lining up. And so the last time this happened, somebody came in, a brother came in from out of town or something and preached that day. And I was like, that's why the block was there. Okay, praise God. I don't have to, you know, if that happens, I don't have to every time get up and say, oh, praise God. I was thinking I was going to preach, but somebody else preached. That's not the case. But this morning, I'm sitting there, and Brother Seth says, because I'm like, man, I can't get that scripture that I was wanting and thinking. And I'm like, man, where's those at? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I can't get this thing. And Brother Seth goes, hey, I brought a covered dish. I got these scriptures that were just speaking to me. And I'm like, oh, my God. You stole it from me. Not only are you stealing my time when you get up here, you're stealing my thoughts even when I'm at home. Like, he's just, but I praise God for that. Somebody's got to say it. Brother Isaiah said it this morning. I don't see nobody else stepping up to do it. Nobody else is calling for what we're calling for. Nobody else is preaching like we're preaching. Yeah, because I even, because sometimes even when I say nobody's preaching like we're preaching, I'm not saying Fairborn. I'm saying nobody else in the world is calling for what the bride is calling for. The bride is the only group of people that knows that it's the end time and that is only focused on one thing. The rest of the church, and I even like to say this, the rest of the church world, because the world, who cares, right? They don't even believe in God anyway. So they don't even pretend to believe in God. They'll claim to be atheists. I'm not talking about the world. The church world will put all these other blockers in the way of what's supposed to happen before we get out of here. But even Brother Branham said, I don't see one scripture left to fulfill for the bride to get out of here. Right. And we got to keep talking like that. Yeah. You know, now, Pastor Moore, when he said that, I thought, my goodness, because he even made mention of Revelation. He said 8 through 11. Now, for context, there was a long time that people didn't even go to the book of Revelations. Okay? There was a long time of that. Then there was a long time where people just went 1 through 7. They read that for years and years and years. But what I'm seeing is that the transition time is quicker. There was a long time before people even read the book of Revelations. Then there was a long time where people 1 through 7. We only got 8 through 11 for a little bit in relationship to the other two stages. And for him to say that's done, then what's next? What happens after that in book of Revelations? If you go through and read the book of Revelations, and I know you can't read it like a storybook, but the next chapter, he goes and deals with Israel. That's what's next. That is the next. That's what happens when you're finished with 8 through 11. It says to prophesy again, and then he goes and deals with Israel. When you talk about a space of a half an hour, that's all we got. That's it. There is not. You prophesy again. Then he deals with Israel. Right. We're here. Ray Charles can see that they're dealing with Israel right now. Right? They're dealing with Israel right now. It's starting right now. It's going on right now. So if that's happening, we've got to get out of here. That's what we're supposed to do. And when we get out of here, where do we go? We know this. See, this is why when I look at all these scriptures and these things, I'm saying, guys, do you understand that you're getting preached everything? God's not hiding anything from you. When we say where we're going, we know where we're going. It's not a vague term. I'm not even just saying, I'll be in heaven. No. When I get out of here, I'm going to a marriage supper to eat, to fellowship with my Lord. I got 1,000-year reign to break this curse, and then I'll come back down. I got steps to this. There's levels to our understanding. The church world will have you, and that's why I said the church world will have you thinking, all these other things got to be done before that happens. No. Matter of fact, even that scripture that you quoted, those that are alive and remain shall not hinder. They shall not hinder. That means there's nothing I can do to stop this. This thing is going to happen regardless of my life choices, my decisions, how much I do this, how much I do that. It's going to happen. When God says, let there be, it is. It is. He vindicates his word by bringing it to pass. And I thought, my goodness, do you understand that? And I thought, you know, as a body, even as a local assembly, when God gives us another marching order, in the past, it took us a while to catch up to things. It was like a tail. It was like, you know, he would do something, and then eventually he'd come around, and he'd go, well, what are you getting at? Remember when he said, just live? How many years ago was that, Dwayne? 20 years ago.
20 years ago, he said, just live. Now, you quote it like it was yesterday. And you think about it like it was just said yesterday. Like, just live. I am. But 20 years ago when he said, just live, half the church fell out. Half the church fell out. Just live. What do you mean, just live? What are my steps? Malfunction, right? I can't just live. Why can't you just live? Is the love of God not in you? Does it not constrain you? Does it not call for you? Can you not just go to church because you want to? Why do I got to browbeat you? Why do I got to kick you to get in here? Just live. Let whatever's in you come out anyway. Amen. What spirit do you have in you? If you really are a believer, then just be a believer. If you don't believe, just don't believe. But don't pretend. Just live. Do whatever's in your heart. That's even what he said to Judas. Do what you must do quickly. Just live, Judas. You do what you got to do now. But for us, just live meant, I'm going to give my whole life to God. I might have been holding something back. Let me give him everything. Let me give him my time on the way to work. Let me give him my time in the evening. Let me give him my time in the morning. Let me read scriptures. Let me put something on the fridge. Just live. Went two different directions. Oh, remember when it said all that I love and all that love me will be there? Half the church fell out. Oh, you can't just put somebody there that ain't a believer. They don't even come to church. That's what the church world said. Hey, see, I want to get away from saying the world, because the world is not applicable to this. They don't even care anyway. But the church world, what do you mean you're going to put your loved one there? They don't believe this. They don't do this. They don't stand up for that. They don't do this. And it's like, this is unmerited favor.
Amen.
I got grace for grace. He gave me grace. Why would I not want to give grace? I didn't do anything to deserve the grace that I got. So why am I making somebody else work for it? Oh, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to put it to you like this, and I'm going to keep going because I got to get some scriptures in here, even though Seth read a lot of them. But I thought, you know, it's kind of like those people that do, and me and my wife are guilty of it, so I'm not condemning it. I'm just giving you an example. If you get something for free, okay, you go to Facebook Marketplace, get something for free or a dollar, get a chair, and then you're like, oh, I don't like this chair, and you go to sell it. For $100, right? Yeah, and then the person goes, well, can you take 97? You go, no, 100. This thing's worth $100. It's worth $100. I need my money. Don't come short, and I want cash, right? But you got it for a dollar. Your investment was a dollar, and you're selling it, but you're holding everybody to the standard. And now, like I said, I do it. I'm not saying it's not something that I don't do. But when it comes to church, you got this grace for nothing. You don't deserve it. You never did deserve it. You did nothing to get it. So when somebody else needs it, why are you so holding on to it? It's not even your freely give this thing. As you have received it, give. That's even what we do with this message. We freely give this message out. We broadcast it out. We take it out. We go out. We freely give this thing because we know if you get what we get, it'll change your whole life. It'll change everything that you look at. It'll change every situation. We've had to deal with funerals. We've had to deal with medical issues. We've had to deal with health issues of the body. It changes even how we look at it. It changes how we pray. All these things are different. And I thought, just live. All that I love, those are moments where it kind of took some steps. And the body had to get with it quickly. I thought even about predestination. When they preach predestination, people fell out. What do you mean you're eternally secure? What do you mean you're going to be there no matter what? What do you mean because you love God, he's going to take it? Just, what about your works? And I thought, okay. That same God that said just live, that same God that told you you could take your loved ones, that same God that gave you the revelation of the predestination, is the same God that told you that we're done in Revelations. That scripture has been fulfilled.
Amen.
That has been done. There is no more work left to do. So you can take the 20 years, or we can move on right now. We can take 20 years to work through it and hope you figure this thing out, or you can use that same faith that got you through the lion and through the bear and say, Lord, I'm ready to take this next step and get out of here. What hinders me? Oh, my, my, my. Yes. Let's read a scripture. I'm going to read over in 2 Kings. And Brother Dwayne actually brought the scripture up, and I just want to reiterate it. It's 2 Kings 6 and 15. And he said, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth before, and a host encamped past the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was... saw and behold that the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about. That's what I pray every service. Lord, open my eyes. I want to see what's here already. He didn't say bring them down. They were already here. That's what I'm saying. Even with the saints, Lord, you don't got to bring them down. I just open my eyes so I can see them. I just want to be able to see them. I know they help the services. I know they put this in there. But now I want to see them. Now I want to see them. I want to see them so I can be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Because that's what's next. That's it. Oh, my. I got another scripture I'm going to read. This is over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack, and the Brother Jeremiah references, concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But he is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God ain't slacking on his promises. He promised us that he would do this for us. That's all we're holding to. See, a lot of times the church world think we're making up these promises. He said it. I'm just telling you what he promised me. I'm cashing in the legal tender he gave me. He said he would take care of me. He said I wouldn't see the tribulation. He said I could take my loved ones. He said that's a prophet's reward. He said that I was going to the marriage supper. He said these things. Who else, when you want to take count and look over what we're doing, who else preaches what we preach? You tell me. Who else sets the people free? You know, even Brother James Bond was talking about freedom and talking about how, you know, you can go fish as much as you want, but you got to have a license to do this and do that and do that, right? That's not really freedom, right? That's a freedom of choice, but it's got some stipulations, got some conditions. When you're free, it's just free. I can run as far as I want in this direction, and I'm still free. I can run as far as I want in that direction, and I'm free. There's no chains on me when it comes to my freedom. I can go to the book of Genesis and read all I want. I can go to the book of Revelations and read all I want. There's no chains of circumstances on me. I'm free in this thing. Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm now free. Oh, my. And when you get free, what happens? What happens when that total freedom is there? What are you free to do? Just worship him in spirit and truth. I don't have any laws of condemnation on me at all. I praise God because I want to. Amen. Oh, my. You see the church world out there, and they got all these rules about how even to praise God. They got all these stipulations on how you should even serve God. And you come in here with a freedom? Should we bore your ears and make you slaves? Is that what you want? See, there's scripture talking about the year of Jubilee. When that Jubilee would happen, you'd have a choice to go into freedom or to stay forever in slavery. And what they would do, if you chose slavery, they'd say, okay, just so we know who you are. Because a free man and a slave look the same when there's no circumstances around. They look the same. They bore your ear. Put an earring in there. That way all would know who the slaves were. I don't want no earrings. I'm free. I'm free. I'll make it regardless. Oh, you know what the children of Egypt said? Oh, Moses, you brought us out here to die. When we were in Egypt, we had at least food. I don't care. I'll go 3 days until he brings some manna from the sky. I don't want to be in bondage. I don't want to go back to when I used to read the Bible and cower in fear that I didn't know if I could make it. I don't want that. I want to know I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. I don't want to read the Bible and hope that my mama and my grandma make it. I want to know all that I love will be there. That's freedom to me. That's the freedom that I want. I don't want to go back to a time where if I climbed up the ladder and missed the rung, I fell back down. Now hopefully I make it right before I die. I don't want that kind of life. I want to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth with no traditions and no condemnation on me. I want to be able to say, I love you, Lord, and mean it. Oh, I'm not in an abusive relationship. I love God and God loves me. It's a love affair where I keep falling in love with him over and over and again. As a matter of fact, how the song says, he gets sweeter and sweeter. Oh, see, I'm like you, Brother Seth. The songs are different. He does get sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. But I keep thinking about, like, what's next, though? What's next? To get out of here. That's it. That's the only, that's all we have left. I challenge you, you doctors and theologians and people that go through the scriptures. What else do we have to do? What else is there to do? You'd have to disprove John. You'd have to say, no, John, you were wrong when he said that this is the end. You'd have to throw out the whole book of Revelations and say that when it's revealed now, it's over with. As a matter of fact, when we say we take that little book, you couldn't take the book until it was open. You couldn't take the book until it was open. It was not even accessible. When the book was now open, now you have the book to read. We have that book to read. Yeah. Now with that knowledge and understanding, nobody can take that from you.
No.
Oh, my, my, my. Amen. Let's go over here and read in Romans 12. Saints, we get so much preaching. I think we, I mean, what I'm getting at is this. I mean, you think about the level that we have in here. And again, when I say in here, I'm talking about the bride body. Because it's a whole body. Like, I don't want my brothers and sisters in the Philippines thinking they're left behind. No, they're not. They're preaching the Word of God. We're preaching the Word of God. But I'm saying as a bride body, what we do right now is literally transforming us. And that's how the scripture reads over here in Romans 12 and 2. It says, as a matter of fact, I'll start in verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
Your whole body is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what happens every service. Our minds get renewed every single service. We get transformed. Do you know every time you come in here, you step into eternity? You really do. Brother Seth, you're right. When you talk about removing those distractions, you step into eternity. Everything that used to matter doesn't matter. At any moment, we're all ready to get out of here and leave it. At any moment, I come to church and I'm sitting here saying, I'm ready to go. I ain't got to go back to the car. Because before I come in here, I'm like, oh, I got to go get gas. Oh, I got to pay that light bill tomorrow. Oh, I got to. All those things matter before I get in here. Then I sit in here, I'm like, I don't care about them lights. I don't care about that car. I don't need it. You say the word and I'm out of here. Who cares about that house? Who cares about that car? I'll leave that right now. That's just shows you how you're stepping into that eternity. Like, I'm just giving you examples because sometimes Satan will battle your mind like, well, I don't feel like I'm in eternity. I still have glasses on. I'm still sitting down. These benches are hard. I don't feel like I'm still hungry, right? That's Satan battling you. But take it another step. You're not worried about things. You're not worried about your loved ones. You know you got a token that you can apply to them. Where'd you get that understanding? You got a revelation of it right here when you stepped into eternity. You step into this thing, oh, even, and I know the church world gets mad about this, but Ray Bolts had that song when he said, when I step into the unknown. Yeah, it's unknown to them. It's known to me, though. When I go into the holies of holies, I've been there before. I know where to sit. I know what to do. When I get in here, I'm not a stranger in this thing. Oh, I'm right at home when it comes to dealing with God. I'm right at home when it comes to hearing from God. You know, in days of old, when God would speak, it sounded like thunders. That means they couldn't understand what he was saying. It just came across loud and scary, and they couldn't understand it. But when I come in here, it's almost like a whisper. Lord, what else can I do? And he gives me some more marching orders. I don't care how loud the preacher preaches it, it still comes across in the sweetest sound. I don't care how hot they want to get it, it still feels good to me. I don't care what they want to do. I'm like, I can't help but to receive this thing. Why is it different? Two sides to this thing. There's a group that can't pick it up no matter how God breaks it down, and there's a group that can't help but pick it up no matter how hard God makes it. We're that group. This is that group. And I love even, I love what Brother Jeremiah was bringing. I love what Pastor Moore was bringing. I thought, Lord, just help us to open our eyes to see that we don't even have to be here. We don't have to be here. And you know, we were dealing with different things, and I thought, we really don't have to be here. Right? Like, what job is there left to do? How many hospitals do we need to build? You know, thinking of things that cause division, and Brother Shields would always say, like, let's talk about something controversial. But I thought, you know, and that man was always ready for a fight. But I'm not even trying to debate. I'm bringing up things that already happened. Okay? You've already laid your stones where you're going to be at on this one. When the bride said it's over, when the bride said saving time is over, that caused some division. Some people got upset about that. Same people that got upset about that probably got upset about just live. Same people that got upset about probably got upset about predestination. Same people that got upset about probably got upset about all that I love will be there. That same group got upset when we said, and I say we, because the whole body, we're speaking as a group now. Now, don't think I'm just saying me. When the body said saving time is over, people got upset. Why did they get upset? Because you were taking away some works. Because they judged the service by having a good service by how many souls we got to Christ. And I think it's good to get people to God. I think it's great. I that's one of the things I'll never knock against Isaiah. He's bringing people to church left and right. He calls himself a knucklehead, but he keeps bringing in people. Brother Tommy's here because of Isaiah. John and Isaiah came in together. Wise, right? He's bringing people to church. But I don't keep a tally of how many people he brings to church to see if he's a good Christian. I don't have something in the back, attendance, Isaiah 4, J, 0, Jeremiah brought us to church, right? That doesn't happen. But that's how it is in the church world. They keep a tally. How many people you bringing in? Did you bring any new people in today? All the new people, please stand up. They do. I'm just telling you, you're hearing these things and you're going, oh, they do that. Oh, they do that. Oh, they do that. But we don't. I come here for the word. I don't care who else makes it in here. I praise God when I see you, but I'm not depending on you to be here. I come here for me. This is for me. It's for me. It's for me. Because I know that if I get raptured, it'll take care of everything else. If you see me leave, you'll leave too. If you see the dead get up, you'll leave too. All the problems and all the things that you think about will go away just like that. Oh, Brother Jay, I'm dealing with a problem in my house. My wife won't listen and blah, blah, blah. The rapture will take care of that. Amen. Oh, Brother Jay, I'm in my house and my husband don't do this. The rapture will take care of that. Oh, Brother Jay, I got this problem. I got this addiction. I got this thing. The rapture will take care of that. And you say, well, Brother Jay, why do you keep saying the rapture? Because that's the thing that's next. That's the answer to everything that you're telling me is the problem. That's the answer. When we turn to the back of the book, it says rapture. That's the answer to get rid of all your problems. And the church world doesn't want it. Amen. They don't want the rapture. They want to be able to work something up. They want to be able to produce something. But when I come in here, all I want is the rapture. Because I know that's the thing that'll fix it for real. Oh, my, my, my. Saints, you know, I was even thinking about this. I got some quotes here. But even when Pastor Moore, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on this thing. The justification, sanctification was done, right? That's a big thing to me, and I'm thinking. And even this is what I love about when God reveals something. When you go back, he's never changed his mind. Right? Like, we go back and we read and we go, it does say that. But it does say that. Like, we go back and read and we go, he's always said that. Right? He did always say it. Because we don't print new Bibles. You don't get a revelation, we add new chapters. It's just we go back and we go, it does say that. It does read like that. How did I miss it? I look at that and I go, if we're the fullness, right, just regular common sense, if you're full, that means it got filled from the bottom up and you have it all. You don't need anything else. Glass is full. You had Paul, had Irenaeus, you had Mark, you had justification, you had sanctification, you had baptism, you had restoration of the gifts. We are the fullness. By saying that we're the fullness, it means all the other jobs had to be done. Matter of fact, when we say God wouldn't marry a bride with one breast, meaning he wanted a fully formed bride that was finished. It was done. That's what we're, when we say those jobs are done, yes, they're done. Yeah. If they weren't done, we wouldn't be the fullness. Right. If it wasn't complete, we wouldn't be the completeness of God. It wouldn't be full. And I thought, like, just in the simplest term, I'm thinking, why was I holding on to something? Thinking something else had to be done. The bride is standing on her feet now with the intelligence to say to the legs, do this. With the intelligence to say to the arms, do this. With the intelligence to say to the eyes, see this. Standing on their feet, a fully formed bride, ready to go. And you go, okay, bride is ready to go, but the living and the dead got to unite. But when they unite, what happens? What happens next? When you read that scripture, Brother Seth, and it says that the living and the dead shall unite to then what? Meet him in the air. That's the next step. You unite, and then you meet him in the air. That's the steps of these things. And I go, but if we're uniting with them now, then what's next? We meet him in the air. That's what happens. The closer we get, the more we're united, we're just ready to get out of here. That's it. That's the next step. And I think about this, and I go, Lord, 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 we keep getting preached to. And the more, everything else should just start falling off. Everything that you think about should just start falling. All the problems. And I get it, because you know what? I get that we live through life. You know, I had a unique situation. We had a coworker, and he had a stroke. Strokes are terrible. And it gave him paralysis on the left side of his body. And he's a coworker of ours. And so we're doing all we can to kind of just go visit him and, you know, the stuff that we do. And it was just surreal to me because I'm going to a hospital. Now, I'm a year out from my surgery stuff or whatever. So I'm going to the hospital to go visit this person in the hospital. And I'm going in, and you got to put all the stuff on. And in my head, I'm thinking, I know what it's like on the other side of the door. And now I'm on this side of the door. Right? It was just a weird, because I go in, I look at him. I was even telling Pastor Moore this the other night. I was like, I'm looking at the brother, and I'm going, I do know what you're going through. Like, I know that feeling. I see the tubes. I see this. I know not being able to move. I know that stuff, and I know that feeling. But now I'm on this side of it saying, I can pray for you. Let me encourage you. I know what you're going through. And I can be an ambassador or help to him and say, listen, we can get through this. I'm going to be here for you each step of the way. And I thought, you know, every now and again in life, we're on either side of that thing. Sometimes I'm laying down, I need you to encourage me. And sometimes I'm coming in to encourage you. But it's happening either way. Like, it's when I'm down, you're up, and you help me. When you're up and I'm down, we help each other. But I thought, when we come into church, there is nothing too big that we can't figure out to work this thing out. Right? If you're down, I know exactly what you're feeling. Right? We can say that as believers. Yes. If you go through something and a loved one passes away, I know what you're feeling. I can say, I know what you're feeling, and I know that you're thinking, you know, maybe if somebody was young, why'd they have to die so soon? What are the life and da-da-da-da and all these things that you think of? I can say to you, we're placing our loved ones. You didn't lose them. You didn't lose them. You got them. You're going to see them again. And we know it with certainty. Right. Well, Brother Jay, they didn't say the Lord's Prayer before they passed away. It don't even matter. It don't even matter if they never prayed. It don't matter if they never knew God at all. They knew you. You're God to them. Where do you want to put them? That's the authority that you get in here. And I think about that and I go, do you understand how much authority you keep getting? Just preach to you and preach to you and preach to you. I don't want you to take it for granted that God talks to you individually every single service. We come in here and talk about the rapture, but God answers every question about what, how am I feeling? Where am I at? What's going on in my life? He answers a question while telling you you're getting ready for the rapture. He deals with your life issues while telling you that you don't have to worry about it. He deals with everything that you're going through and still reminds you that you got a rapture. Oh, my. Let's read it. Let's read a quote here. This is Brother Branham, this is God is in his own interpreter, 1964. And I think, you know, we always want to put something on there that we got to do something. Says Brother Branham here, he says, I believe the scriptures declare that we're in the last hours of the history of this world. I can see that, Brother Branham. I can see things are shaping. This ecumenical council leading all the churches into it, into the mark of the beast. And see the Roman Empire and what it's doing and all the rest of them. See them getting together, shutting out the light. Shutting off the gospel. Brother Branham is talking about the church world. They're shutting out the light. Everybody will have to belong to it and walk in their lights, or you won't walk at all. If you don't go along with the church world, they won't let you go along with them. They'll kick you out. See, we're at that end time. There's nothing left for us. See, now he's separating the groups. Nothing left for us but to hold on to God and believe his word. The word is always right. There's nothing left for us. I don't have to prove myself to the church world. They've already proven that they're going to shut out God and denominate, but it's nothing left for us but to hold on to the word and get out of here. And I got one more quote over here. This is Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom, 1964. It says, now he's called the church through justification, called them through sanctification, then filled it with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he took it through a process. God has his processes. That he himself, the Holy Spirit himself, and the Son of God could dwell in the human heart. Now it has to go through that before he can come to it. It has to go through that process. All the process that it has to do before he can come and dwell in it. It had to go all the way through those ages before he could come and dwell in it. That's God's processes. So when we say God is dwelling here, it had to go through those processes or God wouldn't be able to dwell here. And so we look at this in the church world, I have you thinking you got to keep doing all these. No, I don't have to get baptismal again. No, I don't need to do justification again. No, I don't need sanctification again. It's already been done, that I am the proof that it's done by God dwelling here. Those processes had to be completed for him to be here, and he's here now. I can speak with certain assurity that God is in me. And it's not even enough that if God is in me, he's got to be in you. That's the other step that even the most advanced church world people don't want to do. They can leave it in the ministry and they can leave it up here at the pulpit, but it's got to get in you or it does you no good. If you don't have this revelation, it doesn't matter how much I have it. You got to have it for yourself. That's why it's so important to get God for yourself. That's why it's so important to have a push for yourself, because just trusting me won't do it. Just holding on to what I say won't do it. You got to believe God for you. Oh, Brother Jay, why are you hammering in on that? Because it doesn't matter who says it.
Right.
See, I've been around long enough to see that people put it in a man, and if that man makes a mistake or is no longer here, then they lose their Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that thought Brother Childers was the next coming of Christ and only hold on to every word Brother Childers said. Brother Childers was preaching, amen, amen. Pastor Moore, get up? I don't know. Brother Jeremiah, get up? No way. Brother Jay, no way for sure. But Brother Childers, yes, 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 yes. Brother Childers goes off the scene. Pastor Moore still preaching the word. Brother Jeremiah still preaching the word. Brother Jay still preaching the word. And you're going, I don't know. Well, you fell off. You had your emphasis in the wrong place. Because if you had a revelation, then no matter who was preaching it, you would be sitting there saying, that ain't nothing but the truth. That's how this thing would work out. That's why we know that they're over there rejoicing, looking at us saying, look at that many-membered body. That's what I'm talking about. They're all justified. They all sanctified. They all got this thing in one mind, in one accord. That's the upper room experience. Oh, even in the upper room experience, they said, we're going to go there and wait for Jesus. But then they get there and they start thinking, we got God. He told us that he promised us. And we did what he promised. He said if we did this, he would have to do the next that. We're doing what he said to do.
That's right.
He's here now then. We fulfilled what he told us we had to do. The only things next is for him to do his part.
That's it.
We've done everything he told us to do. Yeah. We got to the place that he told us to get to. Yeah. We believe the word up until the time that he told us to believe it. The only things next is for him to do his part.
Right.
I can't make the rapture happen. I can't make my body change. But I've done everything he told me to do. I stayed with the word. I believe the word. I amen the word. I do nothing but accept the word. I meet him at the designated place, at the dedicated time. I've done what he asked me to do. Now the only thing next is for him to do his part. Get me out of here. That's all I'm waiting on. I've done everything up until this point that he's asked me to do. We fulfilled every single scripture that it said the bride would do.
Amen.
Oh, my. Now it can go. Oh, that's even how I say it. Brother Branham doesn't even say, then the rapture can come. It says, then it can go.
Yeah.
It's ongoing right now. It's happening right now. The rapture's happening right now. We're in the bride revivals right now. We're rejoicing over those things right now. I'm not waiting until I get on the other side to talk about how good God has been. He's good now.
Yeah.
Oh, saints, we got a revelation that we understand what's going on right now. See, a lot of people, see, Satan doesn't mind, and we say this a lot. Satan doesn't mind if you put God yesterday, if you put God tomorrow. Can't do it today, though. He don't want a today God. Because a today God can answer today's questions. A today God can deal with the present tense. A today God can handle it right now. But a yesterday God, well, it was good for yesterday. A tomorrow God, you still got to struggle. But a today God, I ain't got to struggle no more. Matter of fact, Brother Branham even said it should be an end to a struggling nature. My nature doesn't even struggle anymore. It's God in here right now, and I have answers to everything that I need.
Amen.
My, saints. What God gives us is good. And I'm up here just enjoying the goodness of it. I enjoy the fact that I know what God's saying. I enjoy the fact that when you read a scripture, I do see myself in the verse. When you talk about the they, I'm part of them. That's a pronoun I can agree with. I'm one of them. I'm the they and them. That's me. When you talk about the bride of Jesus Christ, that's me. When you say I'm one of them, when we sing that song, I am one of them. There's many people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm on fire for Jesus Christ, and you can't put it out no matter what I go through. I can't even put it out. You can't put enough water on my revival to put this thing out. Talk about holding my mule. You better keep it. I don't want it back. I'm enjoying this thing. Because God has been too good to me. You think about what he's done for me through the body? Oh, he's given me everything. He's given me everything. He made sure I had a good, strong foundation. He made sure my roots went deep. He made sure that the fruit that I'm producing is what he's happy with. Oh, Brother Jay, is he happy with your fruit? Yes, he is. I produce in season and out of season. What did Jesus do when he walked past that fig tree that didn't produce out of season? See, now remember that part of the story. It was out of season. If you went to an apple tree out of season, you and I wouldn't expect apples. But Jesus was like, curse it, right? I'm diminishing the story a little bit, but that's what he did. Cursed the fig tree, and it was out of season. Kept walking. They came back, and they was like, man, that tree died. It wasn't dead. It was just out of season, man. He didn't look back at it. Hey, the scripture says be instant in season and out of season. I want you turned on for God all the time. That's what I have. I'm instant in season and out of season. It's always season for me. I'm always turned on about the Word of God. Oh, Brother Jay, I caught you down in doubt. I'm still turned on about the Word. Oh, Brother Jay, I caught you on the top of the mountain. I'm still turned on about the Word. Oh, Brother Jay, I see you in the middle of that mountain making your way up. I'm still turned on about the Word. Oh, Brother Jay, you might have to preach. I'm still turned on about the Word. Oh, Brother Jay, you might have to sing. I'm still turned on about the Word. Oh, Brother Jay, you might have to sit and listen to a testimony. That's all right. I'm still turned on about the Word.
Amen.
This is all my life. This is all I want.
Amen.
People, I don't have it like that. Well, get it.
Yeah. Get it.
Get it. I can't help you. Get it. The bride should turn quickly to the Word. And don't try to make your revelation my revelation. Don't try to make what I look like turned on what you look like turned on. Don't let Satan even get in that. You shouldn't even sound like me. Get it for yourself. If I say amen, maybe wait a little bit. Make sure you understand what I'm saying, and then you say amen. Because sometimes you go to churches, and they just screaming and holler. They ain't even heard the Word yet. Whoa, be quiet. Listen to the Word first. Then you got something to say amen about. Then you got something to sing about. Then you got something to rejoice about. See, we sing a song that the angels can't sing. Oh, they can just scream, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But I can say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I know I was bad. I know I was lost. But, oh, I know what happened when the blood paid. Oh, that's my story. Oh, my saints, what we get in here is better than anything. And don't let the world try to diminish it. Just keep clinging to that thing that much more. Don't let situations get in the way of it. Just keep, because the prescription is the same. Get to the house. You push to get to the house. You do your part. And just trust God to do his part. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, we're now on the eighth day. Time shall be no more. Saving time shall be no more. Getting it she'll be no more. And a lot of times, see what happened when we said saving time was no more? The church world took it as that nobody else could come to God. That was part of the problem. They thought, well, nobody else can come to God. That ain't the case. We never said nobody else can come to God. But when the book was opened, let's go back to the Bible. When the book was opened, all the names were accounted for. And if all the names were already accounted for, he's not adding any more names. Well, then saving time is over. If all the names are already wrote down, he's not writing down any more names, then saving time is over. That has to be the next order of events. If he can't add any more names, and he can't take any off the list, all the names are accounted for, saving time is over. But see, because you get so carnal, you think it's James Pickens' name. No. The bride has already been named. It's been named in its fullness, in its entirety. Matter of fact, when we go to call them up, we're calling them up by their age. I don't care all the people that went to Luther's church. That's it. You got to identify with one of those ages. And that's why you can't say that you're in Martin's, you were saved in Martin's age and then coming over to this age. That doesn't work that way. You went down with your age. Because when we call you up, you're coming up through your age. There's no Martin saints hanging around here right now. There's no Pentecostal saints hanging around here right now. It's just strictly the eighth-day bride at this time. Oh, my, my, my. See, saints, we get too much preaching. And I think, you know, even I'm just talking for myself. Sometimes I forget how spoiled I am. I really do. And every now and again, I go out there and I listen to something, and I go, my goodness. So much trash out there. And the people just willingly accept it. Just eat it up. They eat up vomit. I say this, and I get Brother Jeremiah. So we were doing something, and they called one of the ministers up to pray. And I had been talking to this guy. We were doing something. I had been talking to him. So he was talking to me, and I knew his voice, his dialect, how he talked, all those kind of things, because I could hear him talking. He's talking to me. Then when he goes and gets up to pray, he changes everything. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. He changed how he spoke. He changed the reverence. He changed. Now, there's a certain amount of sovereignty that comes with preaching. But if you completely turn into another person, that's an act. You're acting. You're not you. I want Jeremiah to sound like Jeremiah. I want Pastor Moore to sound like Pastor Moore. Now, when the word comes across, he may yell a little bit more than what he normally yells, or may spit and sputter more than he might spit and sputter. But I still want to hear the voice of Jeremiah. I still want to hear the voice of Pastor Moore. Don't put on an act for me. You don't got to whitewash how you say the words and do a certain edit and all those kind of things for me to pick it up. Just say the words and how it's intended. If the word is connect, just say connect. Right? Because I looked at that and I thought, these people know this man. They know he's acting. And they willingly just eat it up. Why? Because he don't call nobody out. And nobody gets put on the carpet. And it's a feel-good message. I don't want a feel-good message. I feel good because the word came across. I feel good because I accepted the word. That's what makes me feel good. Oh, well, Brother Jay, you told me I'm short. Well, stand up taller then. Don't let Satan in the room at all. Like, if God's calling for something, just say amen to it and move on. Amen. Hey, I've already said it's not the evidence. We already said that. That ain't going to stop you from getting to heaven. So if God's calling for something, just do it and move on. Oh, we had a situation. I dealt with a brother, and I said, hey, do this and do that. And the brother said, okay. That was it. That was it. That was the extent of our disagreement. And we move on. We're able to fellowship and enjoy God. That's it. Now, if he would have said, no, I'm not going to do it, it still would have been it. That still would have been the end of it. Because why? We got a bigger job to do here than all that other stuff of disagreement and falling out. Listen, this is the body that I'm serving God with for eternity. I need you to understand that. Your life, I don't care. Your things that you go through, I don't care. We're getting out of here. The rapture will fix all of that. That's what's next for us. I don't care about jobs. I don't care about bills. I don't care about life. I care about the word and the word only. Don't get in the way of the word. That's the only thing that I can protect. You get in the way of the word and I will run you down. But as long as you're not in the way of the word, come on, brother. Come on. Come on, you're moving slow. Let's speed it up. Okay, you're moving too fast. Trying to get ahead of your pastor. Slow down a little bit. Let's stay right here. Right? I can be your pace setter. But as soon as you start veering off that path and wanting to get in the way and trip me up, you got to keep it moving. Get back in line. Get behind me then. That's what we do. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're getting in the way. That's how I look at this thing. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Brother Jeremiah and Pastor Moore bringing this thing so clear and so perfect. They're letting us know what's next up here is the rapture. That's all we got next, saints. That's it. And you say, Pastor Moore, what did Pastor Moore say? He said, you only got one thing on your plate. I don't know how many years ago that was. So you only got one thing left on your plate. A bunch of people falling off. Well, we got a lot of more things to do. We got this and that. Believers are like, yeah, we only got one thing left on our plate. Even when you go back to study, you're like, yeah, that's it. We really only have one more thing to do. That's it, is to get out of here. We've already got that revelation that we're not 3 minutes to midnight anymore. That was crystal clear. It's a new day. When you're in a new day, it's a new day. I don't care. And I even love how Brother Jeremiah even said, he said, I don't care if it's 1 minute into the new day. It's a new day. Don't try to take that away from me. Oh, you're not 8 hours into it, 5 hours. I could be 1 second into it. It's a new day. I'm in the new day. That's it. Matter of fact, once I'm in the new day, time is no more. So don't try to tell me how many more minutes I got left in this day. I'm not worried about time. It's an eternal day. I'm not worried about that. Time don't even matter anymore. When you step into eternity, time doesn't even matter anymore. Time is just a measurement of death. When you step into the eighth day, there is no more death. So there's no more measurement of time. I'm in that day. I'm stepping into eternity. So I'm looking at all these things, and I praise God for the revelation that we get. I praise God for the understanding that we get. I praise God for the leadership that we have. This thing can fix everything, people, and I'm proof of it. I'm proof of it. When I stand here, I'm standing here as the wave sheep of the first fruits to say, it works. That's even what I told my mom this, and I told my daughter. I was sitting with Jada, and I'm going to get Brother Jeremiah up. I was sitting with Jada, and we're doing this stuff for college, and I'm saying, Jada, you're the proof that what we did works. Like, you're the proof. Like, you're the first proof that my mom put something in me that I can put something, and then I could do what I needed to do. And Miss Courtney's mom put what she needed to put in her. Us together, join. We come in here in this church, and the church is putting this, what they put in us. And then we put that into you, and you pick that up. Your success is proof that what we did works. Like, it works. And I looked at Jonathan, and I was like, it works now, bub. You can't tell me it don't work. You're going to have to... This is the bar now. You have no excuse, right? Like, I've seen that. This is proof that this works. And I look at that and I go, we're the proof. We are the proof that their works are done. We're the proof that what was prophesied has come to pass. This is the group. This is not one person. This is the group that is the proof that we're the first wave sheeps that says we know what it is. No other time in history did you have a group of people that knew what it was. You can go all the way back. Go as far back as you want. Go to Adam. That was one person. That was one person that knew what it was. Eve didn't know what it was. That was one person that knew what it was. You go to Moses. Moses and when the prophets were on the scene, it was just a prophet. When Jesus was on the scene, it was just Jesus. They had believers that followed them, but it wasn't they all weren't little messiahs. Now in here, you'd be hard-pressed to even know who the pastor was. You would be. You'd be like, is Brother Isaiah the pastor? Is Seth the pastor? Jeremiah the pastor? Brother Don the pastor? Is Seth the pastor? Maybe Brother Locke is the pastor. Maybe Brother Jim's the pastor. I'm just saying, because you're seeing so much strength. You're seeing so much revelation in the many-membered body that everybody's picking it up. It's not a situation now like Brother Branham when he was preaching. He said, oh, I hope they got it. Do you think they got it? No. We get it. We pick it up. We pick it up. And now we just need to be louder about it. Be more vocal about it, that we do got this thing. I want them to know that we got this thing. I praise God for this. I praise God for the opportunity to get up here. I love you guys with all my heart, all my heart. There's no place I'd rather be. I love this message. I love this truth. I love what we get here. I wish if I could give this to anybody, that's my prayer. I wish they could get it. And I still go back to even Brother Solomon. Brother Solomon said, man, when I was going through all these different things, and God bless Brother Solomon, hope he's all right. He said, I wish if there was somebody I could give this to, be Michelle, girl I went to school with. I'm the proof, Brother Solomon. I'm the proof that she got it. I'm the proof that she got it. Thank God for your prayers. I'm here now. I'm the proof. Amen. I'm the proof. I'm the manifestation that she got what you were praying for. I'm the proof. You can go, well, I hope she got it. Well, no, go look at her son. What is her son doing? He's the first fruit of what you were praying for. That, because I was the reason that she left the school. She was pregnant with me. That's why she left the school. I'm the proof that she's back. I'm the proof that that what you were thinking about would work. You thought that this message would change somebody's life? It has. You thought this message would make everything better? It has. You thought this message would take all the problems away? It has. You thought this message would turn to night into day? It has. I'm the proof of it. We all are the proof of that thing. Our families had prayers that had all this. We're the proof of that thing. And what's next for us? To get out of here. God bless you.
Church says amen.
Amen.
That was good. Enjoyed that. I stepped down a little early on him because, you know, Seth got up. Seth was about 5 minutes from me just sitting down listening to him because I was back here watching his back. And then James get going. I thought, I'm not going to let this happen to me again. I'm gonna look at these guys. But I enjoyed that. The one thing that this really stuck out to me is James was preaching. And what I'm about to say is so simple, and you're going to say, well, duh, Jeremiah, but I guess just how much we've already finished all those things up there. And you made a statement. It's so true that sometimes we'll go back and read a quote that's been there the whole time, and God's never had to change anything about the quote. He's never had to change anything about the scripture because God's word runs, it dovetails, it ties. Even when he says it the first time, even though we didn't understand the depths of that quote, it's been perfect the whole time. And here we are. How long has Brother Moore been saying there's only one thing left on your plate? And that's stronger to me today than it was when he first said it. And what are you saying, Jeremiah? We ain't changed this message. Just because we got something that seems brighter to us. This ain't new. This isn't some new message, some new prophet brought. This is just the same thing, really. We've always been preaching since 63. It's just God keeps brightening it up for us to where we're actually standing here this morning realizing, we've done this thing. Sanctification's over. Justification's over. I don't have to do that anymore. And you were talking about where to go next, and the one scripture kept coming to me is, because, you know, if I opened up the book of Revelations and I went to chapter 2 and chapter 3 and I read the fifth church age to you, you would just easily say, that's been fulfilled, that's over, that's done. If I read the sixth, you would. Seventh, some of us would still struggle there a little bit because we know we're in 8 days why I say that. But you realize there really is going to be a time when we're done with fulfilling certain scriptures. It's over. We're not fulfilling Revelations in the fifth church age anymore. We moved on. Well, what happens after Revelation, the third chapter, is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither. That's where we are. That gets me excited to see that we are at the footsteps, the doorsteps of getting out of here. Now, let me say this. If I'm alive tomorrow, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to work. I'm going to plant my potatoes. Yeah. If I keep breathing today, I'm going to still manifest Luke 17:30 and St. John 14 and 12 and Revelation 10, 8 through 11. Yeah, right. But to get a reality, to realize that you can stay in Revelation 10, 8 through 11 so long, it'll become like changing the soul for you. Like, we got to focus on an entire body getting out of here. Right. Oh, that's exciting to me.
Amen.
Because like we've been saying, you know, we can focus so much on just one scripture that applies to us. It's more than Revelation 10, 8 through 11. Come up hither. Let us be glad and rejoice. The bride's made herself ready. The marriage of the Lamb has come.
Yes.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the scriptures, the joint scriptures now.
Yes.
And to see these things be fulfilled, to see us right at the doorsteps of getting out of here, to see Israel in the shape they are. You're so right. I mean, I'm mad. So I don't know when it's going to be. God has not showed me, but I know why Israel's in more and more trouble every day, it feels like. Getting disliked more and more each day. I don't know how much longer it can last, but I know that God's got to, can't deal with them until we're out of here. And I know he can't lose one of them either. So even so, Lord, come. Till we come to the unity of the faith. We've done it. We're the bride. Fitly joined together. We see it. Come up hither. That's where we are now. Because Brother Branham said you don't hear any more of the bride from Revelations 4 to 19. Oh, that gets me excited. Because what you start dealing with then is Israel again.
Yeah.
And we're not dealing with Israel today. We know we're still here, but that's what's next. Just like we're getting out of here. That's how close we are. God came in here Wednesday night and said, we are got to do more than just Revelations 10, 8 through 11. We're beyond it. Think about that. Now, I don't know about you, but that was a little tweak of my thinking. Made me have to look at it a little different. We've been doing it. You know, and here's what's so amazing for. I remember one time Brother Childers, because we would talk about these seven church ages being done, and he would sometimes say, well, what's left for me to do? And he'd say, I'm in the eighth day. And we are. And we're still in the eighth day. But what's so amazing about it, God said, he's like, in that eighth day, I guess I should say, in this new message, he's saying, but don't just look at that one scripture. Look at this entire bride body and getting out of here. That's where we are. That's our job. There really is only one thing left on our plate. I won't say you, it's taken me this long to realize it, but there really is one thing left on our plate, and that is getting out of here. And that is so exciting. So come on, musicians. Enjoy that, Brother James. Enjoyed the testimonies. I got to see Seth yesterday, and he was telling me a little bit about the scripture, so I knew he was. I saw him walked in this morning, though. He's going to say something. And that's the way we all should be. And let's find a song to sing here. We'll come back tonight at 7. And remember Brother Jimmy Moorfield's family in your prayers. They're having his going away service today. And I don't know what time it is, but I'm sure they're gonna get that done. Pray for Brother Moore and Brother John to get home safe to us. And we'll come back here and let's fellowship some more. Hey, come back tonight and bring your questions or bring some fellowship. Let's fellowship some more together. Let's see. I always go to Ain't Got Good, but I am not going to go there when I go think of another song. I am blessed. Q G.